This is the PNB Finance Committee meeting of Thursday, October 25th, 2007. We do not have a quorum. Chair LeVarne Williams is not going to make it to the meeting. I'll do a roll call so we know who's here, and we'll have a bit of a discussion and a non-meeting until maybe Dave Adelson will show up, at which point we will have quorum. So Dave Adelson, Rudy Bediako, Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
Here.
Jane Gatewood. Terry Goodman is here. Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Bertold Reimers. Sandra Rawline.
Present.
LeVarne Williams. Mike Martin. I'd like to turn over the chair to Sandra Rawline as chair pro tem of this meeting, if there's no objection. Go ahead, Sandra.
Okay. I believe the proper protocol would be, since this is not an official meeting, to go ahead and move to set the next meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee for November the 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Are there any objections?
Yeah, that will be an adjourned meeting from this attempt at meeting.
Okay.
Unless we make another motion after Dave gets here.
Let's make that, I move that we make this an adjourned regular meeting on the 19th of November. Do I hear any objections? Hearing no objections, we'll set the next meeting for the 19th of November at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next order of business would be a general discussion regarding the WBAI. We can't approve the agenda, can we? A general discussion regarding the BAI recovery plan. Lonnie?
Yes. The board at its meeting in Berkeley, September meeting, requested that that WBAI develop a recovery plan, and that board meeting it approved budgets for the WBAI and the national office for a period of 3 months. My report's going to be just on the WBAI recovery plan that has been developed by the station, and I'll just concentrate on that, and then I'll finish up with what information I have on how the drives are going, whatever information you folks might have. So, and then after that, I'm thinking that I'll drop off the call. I did produce a document on the finances at WBAI, and I'll just go through that for people that don't have a copy. And then if I can, I'll just run through some of the basic parts of that report. First, it just basically says, in looking at the finances of WBAI, you want to know what are the drivers in the WBAI financial situation. That is to say, what are driving on a strict financial level is the deficit. What's driving that operating deficit? I think I've projected a deficit for them this year of about $44,000 negative. And in looking at the station, I look first at what could be the likely expenses on the expense side that drive that deficit. The first one I looked at was salaries. And what I did is compare it, what percent of total expenses does all stations. I did it for everybody. What percent of total expenses is salaries for all stations? PRA's salaries are 50% of its total expenses, for example. National office, 26.9% of total expenses are salaries. KPFA, the number is 45%, 45.4%. KPFK is 44.2%. And KPFT, 38% of total expenses are salaries. And WBAI is 35%. WPFW is 32%. So, you know, salaries range from a low of 26 for the national office. We really are underpaid, and we certainly are understaffed, CCF, Terrorist Group. But the average for a station, we're not a station, so it's not really comparable. But the average for stations is between, in this case, 32% and 45%. And so salaries aren't the driver at WBAI. Now we can go and look at salaries and say, what's been the historical average? I've looked at salaries going back to 1990 to see what percent of expenses in each year since 1990 has each station had. And so I have some historical data, too. but salary's not the driver at WBI. Then I looked at premium costs, because premium costs are an expense, a major expense at each station. And at PRA, no premiums in the national office. But KPFA spends $205,000 on premiums. At least this is for FY08 budget, not FY07. KPFK spends $256,000 in on premiums. That's including just two items, premiums and shipping of premiums. There are other expenses that could have found in there, but I'm doing the same.
Lonnie, why aren't you calculating that as a percentage of budgets? Why are you looking at gross?
Pardon me?
Why aren't you counting that as a percentage of pledges? You're just giving us gross numbers for three stations that raise different amounts of money.
Well, I'm just trying to use the same one across stations, the percent of expenses. I could do it the other way, but I just did the percent of total expense.
No. You're giving dollar amounts. You're not giving percent of total expense.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm giving dollar amounts. Just how much they spend on premium costs, direct costs, and shipping. That's what we have. No, I didn't do percent of pledges. You certainly could do it that way. But I'm just doing dollar amounts at this point because the deficit is driven by dollars. So you want to know where those dollars are going in case of WBAI. KPFT, $53,000 on premium costs, including shipping. WBAI is $168,000. WPFW, $191,000. You know, WBI with $168,000 is not out of line. It's not the driver in their deficit. Cost per dollar raised, I looked at, that is to say, what the expenses are as a proportion of total revenue raised. As a standard measure, and the report, WBFW spends 81 cents for every dollar it raises. WBAI, 77 cents. For every dollar raised. KPFT, it's at 75 cents. K is 74. A is 81 cents. National Office, we spend 87 cents for every dollar raised. And PRA spends $1.47 for every dollar it raises. That's because PRA is a subsidized unit. And it doesn't, in fact, produce the revenue to cover its expenses. Now,
what are you counting?
I'm counting the expense against revenue.
Is that total expense?
Yeah, total
for
expense
everything?
Against revenue, total revenue. Cost per dollar raised.
So rent is included in the cost?
Yeah, it's everything.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Everything.
So aren't you basically calculating percentage surplus?
You're looking at it in terms of what is it that you want to know if fundraising costs are out of line. You don't get to it directly here, but you do get to what is the cost for this unit to produce $1 of revenue. And you could break it down into grant revenue or listener support revenue, but I didn't do it that way. I just did the total because I'm really after WBAI figures. So you want to know, well, are the expenses, if it costs you, $1.01 to raise a dollar, then you are measuring deficit. And in this case, we're seeing that the deficit at WBAI is not coming from the cost of raising revenue, which is what I was trying to get to. Is it coming from high expenses in raising the marginal dollar?
So is this an average over several years? Because last year, BAI ran a deficit. This should be greater than one.
No, we're talking about total expenses against revenue. So this gives you a measure.
A deficit is when total expenses are greater than total revenue.
Huh?
Isn't a deficit when total expenses are greater than total revenue?
Well, not necessarily. You can have a deficit, but you want to know what drives that deficit. The deficit can be on the expense side. It can be on the revenue side. And you can't tell from this, and that's what I'm trying to get to. Which is it? Is that deficit being driven by revenue over shortfalls in revenue? Or is it being driven by higher expenses than are economically reasonable? So you need to know where a given deficit is coming from. And that's what I'm trying to get to. On the revenue side, you can see that as a network as a whole, I'm also interested in total revenue. FY04 and looking at increases. Because I'm looking at revenue increases over a time period between FY04 compared to FY07. And you want to know, okay, well, if it's coming from revenue, then what has been the trend on the revenue side for the last 3 years? And you get a nice little chart that says WPFW has increased revenue 5.36 since FY04. All this information is available in the reports that the consolidated reports, all the figures are there and derived from there. But you want to know, well, is it that the expenses have increased faster than revenue, or the revenue percentages are down? What's driving deficits and also surpluses? Well, in the next chart, total revenue, you're comparing FY04 revenues to FY07 revenues. And for WPFW, the percentage increase between year FY04 and year FY07 is up 5.3%. WBAI revenue is down 1.59%. So revenue is a factor at WBAI as a driver to a deficit. Sure, if you have revenue is down, you can expect it to show up in terms of a deficit. KPFT revenue is up 10.9% since FY04 compared to FY04. Of course, it might have gone up and down between FY04 and FY07, but I'm just comparing the 2 years. KPFK revenue up 15%, and this is a way of looking at it. And then KPFA revenue is fairly flat at 0.2%. National office revenue is up 47%, and that's due to the mail drop. Listener support. I do get the listener support, and I'm looking at the increases and decreases in listener support percentage-wise between FY04 and FY07. WPFW listener support up 5.39% since 04, or comparing 04 to 07. WBI listener support down 11%, FY04 and 07 compared. Well, that's a significant drop in listener support. They made up for it, looking at the last chart, where you have a total revenue decrease of only 1.59%. But if you're looking strictly at listener support, well, that figure's 11%. Listener support for KPFT, am I right? Yeah, KPFT up 15%. KPFA, listener support numbers, FY04 audit to FY07 projected, down 6%. National office is up high because we have a smaller base than station, so the percentages are higher. Finally, I come to the conclusion, when you look at the expenses for tower rental and utility costs between the five stations. You have WPFW. It says this is the one mistake I made. Their expenses are about $253,000, including rent. In this case, any tower rents that may apply for a station and utility costs, including the utilities for the tower itself, and any utility costs for the station in terms of heat, light, and HVAC. So I included all three, what we call occupancy costs. And you're going to look at it, and my chart says 102, but the real number four, I left out the rent for WPFW, so $156,000 more. So you got $258,000 is the true rental cost for WPFW. But WBI spent $736,000 for those three items. WBI is $736,000. KPFT is only $51,000. KPFK, it's $146,000, and KPFA is $72,000, and the national office, we had some small stuff at $6,000. But here's the driver. KPFA, what I call occupancy expenses, tower rental, utility, and lease costs, way, way high, and they're the driving factor in that station's deficit. That is to say, if you were to take $736,000, and reduce those costs significantly down to something reasonable, like a couple of hundred thousand, that would free up $500,000 in terms of cash for that station. So clearly, one way to solve the fiscal issue is to reduce occupancy costs significantly. And that's what I then move on to say, well, if that is the case, what are the options for reducing lease costs and tenant costs? What are those costs? The tenant It's very expensive for WBAI. They're on top of the Empire State Building in New York. They have a 7% escalator in the lease cost. That means they're paying something like $30,000 a month for the antenna alone. That's $360,000 a year. Going up 7% a year, it will become unaffordable, obviously, in a few years. If it's in the case, it's unaffordable now. The other one is cost for the lease cost. They're paying close to $30,000 a month for lease costs at WBAI for that space on 120 Wall Street. Again, that's very expensive space, paying $30,000 a month. And then they have common costs and escalator costs. They escalate at 10% a year, which is to say the lease costs go up 10% a year. And then on top of that, you have to pay what's called common costs, which is to say the building charges the tenant a proportion of heat, light, HVAC, et cetera, and for WBAI that comes to 2%. So that comes in April of each year, adding another $30,000, maybe sometimes $40,000. It changes with each year. WBAI could become a solvent station if they had cheaper quarters and cheaper costs. What are the options? Met with, and they're outlined here. I won't go over a whole detail, but this is all part of a recovery plan. So a relocation is part of a recovery plan. It's not all of it, of course, and I go through several parts to it. Then I'm almost finished. First, I went to have the auditors, met them there on Wednesday, October 16th, to look through WBI's books. I wanted to see what expenses they were actually incurring, what could be reduced in the expenses. And I'm working with the auditor to identify some areas where expenses could be reduced and proceeded to work on those. I changed the signature cards at for the station so that the general manager can sign checks, and we take check signing authority away from, in this case, it was the shop steward and the business manager. The auditor is very clear on that. So that no business manager should sign checks. He can't make checks and sign them. And it is obviously inappropriate for a shop steward to be a check signer. So that was accomplished. We changed the signature structure for the station. So the two signers are, I was already a signer, but adding the general manager. We looked at, changing the bank accounts to reduce bank fees. The station was paying bank fees. Well, I did it first at KPFA, where I said, look, you shouldn't be paying any bank fees. You go to the bank, you tell them you want a sweep account, you're going to look at a CD account as well. You'll save the station $20,000, $30,000. So KPFA is doing it. I'm looking at T, and I'll do it at WBAI as well. But you have to be careful when doing it, because they'll say, fine, we'll eliminate your bank fees here, but they'll increase your cost on other services out of the bank, and you might not end up with savings, or you might not end up with savings as much as you thought. But as a customer putting $2 and $3 million through a bank, you have considerable clout with banks. So you have to be clear with them what you want, and you are a valuable customer. Met with the credit card people, trying to save that station money on credit card fees. Anything above 2.5, 2.6 is not acceptable. You want to get credit card charges. We do a lot of credit card charges in these drives. And so we're processing credit cards. Big volume, 50% of revenue is credit card-driven revenue. You don't want to pay 2.6, 2.9% for credit card charges. No. You want to get it down to about 2.09, somewhere around there, which is more competitive. So we're looking at that not only for WBAI, but for another state as well. I'm looking at creating an affinity card for WBAI, where affinity cards where listeners can have a credit card with the WBAI logo on it, and where each time they use that credit card, it's like a rewards program. You get a lot of credit cards. But in this case, every time that individual uses that credit card, there would be a donation made to WBAI, 0.25%. And in the course of a year, if theoretically a person charges $25,000 on that credit card, it would be a $1,000 donation to WBAI. And the good part about it is that it will be in perpetuity and fairly invisible to the credit card users who are paying this way of giving to the station. Looking at that, trying to get an affinity card. They have affinity cards. I don't know if you folks have heard them on the West Coast, but they're fairly common on the East Coast. Met with a tax-exempt bond broker. And a tax-exempt bond broker is an broker whose specialty is finding real estate and loaning money to nonprofits for buildings. WBAI is in a building that is called what's called a nonprofit building. In each city, most cities in the United States, cities have an interest in having real estate where nonprofit programming will have a home, because 40% of all social services in most cities in this country is done by nonprofits. So cities have to have a home for them in the city. They'll designate certain buildings as nonprofit buildings. Most of the tenants in the building will be nonprofits, and they generally have a lower rental rate. WBI is in such a building right now. That's how the building came to be. It's a nonprofit building. What in San Francisco we call a community asset building. Anyway, I'm looking at a bond broker. I met with a bond broker out of Roosevelt and Cross to say, what kind of terms could you give us in terms of moving WBI out of that building, buying another building for WBI, and looking at what the loan cost might be? And we're starting to talk to these folks once they get some of our financial information. Met with a Chase loan officer. This is, instead of doing tax-exempt bonds, you can go commercial. As you go to Chase Bank, a commercial bank, and say, we want to buy a building, and what kind of loan terms could you give us? Met with Mr. Lancet there. He came to the station, sat down, and we talked over what terms. I go into detail down below, and we'll do it here. And then we looked at another lease property, say WBI could not buy. Suppose the loans don't come through, or God forbid, Pacificus drives this year look bad, and the bank says, I'm not so sure about you. You had a good year last year, but it doesn't look like you're doing very well this year. Then another option is to look at another lease property, and we're looking at some other nonprofit buildings in New York, other than the one they're in. And then other parts of the recovery plan. And I'll close because the rest of the stuff is pretty detailed. Looking at speeding up the pledge process, that is to say, they brought in right now, they are in place, five or six volunteers who are calling unredeemed pledge people and using that call to get feedback from listeners who haven't redeemed pledges about what issues they may have with the pledge process, what issues they may have with the premium process, what issues they may have with the station. So it serves two or three purposes in calling those particular individuals. And they have an estimate on what they can recover, but I won't go into it. I haven't seen the dollars yet, so I can't say if that's actually true. Looking at the cash flow statements for the station, and they're also going to follow through on current plans, which is freeze on salaries for all personnel and a 5% reduction in salary starting November 15th for all staff. Finally, the station does have $200,000 in the bank for relocating for a building. That much is in place. And $200,000 is, you know, $300,000. You can put a down payment on a building and get started that way. Now, the cost of moving, and I won't go into it in too much detail unless you folks are glutton for detail and punishment on real estate, but the way it works is that if you were to buy a building, the first question is for any bank is can you pay it back? And I go through the various scenarios identifying what the savings would be from their current payments for this antenna and for the lease cost. I'm leaving out the antenna in my scenario because instead of paying $360,000, which is $30,000 a month, Chase Manhattan says, well, look at 8% interest, 30 years, and you locate a property, and they would take the building as collateral. That is to say, not other Pacifica property, but the new building would be collateral for that loan. And you could look at a $1.5 million loan, and your payments would be around $19,000 a month as opposed to $30,000 a month. And the law would cover for cover the cost of an 800,000 building in Brooklyn, which we had a couple of possibilities that have been sent along to us, and we looked them over. And then 700,000 to cover build-out and moving costs, moving radio station expenses. And I go through the tax-exempt bond. The interest rate's a little lower, 6.25 over 30 years, but you'd be buying a building. And so the borrowing amount would be $7.4 million. And this would be buying a building for $6 million. So whatever the final number may turn out to be, it could be 6, it could be 5, it could be 4. But this is a different approach. What it is saying is let's not buy a building just for our needs, that is 8,000 square feet, which is the footage, their current footage amount for the current space. It says let's buy 15,000 square feet and then use the remaining space as an income producer for the station. Currently, the average square footage cost in Manhattan is square foot from $45. And $45 is a considerable sum of money to be renting out for 7,000 or 8,000 square feet. But, of course, WBAI is not paying anywhere near that amount. But in terms of buying a building, why not buy more space than you need and have that building be an income producer for the station? And that's what you're seeing with this tax-exempt bond proposal. Not just to buy a building, not just to pick up debt, but to produce income by subletting space to other nonprofits, which is exactly what the situation is for them in this current building. But they would be the landlord in this scenario. You could look at a grant from Congress that is not out of the question. So Charlie Rangel is someone who has helped nonprofits in New York. I'm starting to talk to the mayor, too, but cities do have derelict buildings, and that's the next one. WPFW asked the mayor to identify buildings for WPFW, gave us a list of 15 buildings, 10,000 square feet or more, but the catch is you have to rehab those buildings to cost you, I don't know, $700,000-$800,000, and but you get them for very inexpensive, sometimes it's given to you for a buck, and that is in process in D.C., and the mayor will probably announce at the December 15th event the generosity of the city. And we just have to look at these buildings and see which one of them is feasible for WPFW. So anyway, I'll close. the 12-point recovery plan. And it basically says implement the current budget plan with the salary freeze. It says should be 5%, not 10% cutback. Implement a holiday mail drop. And they're looking at a major donor event to coincide with what's going on at WPFW on December 15th. That event, by the way, December 15th event, WPFW, will happen. Amy Goodman will be on it with the first annual Pacifica Peace and Justice Award on a national level. The confirmed speakers and awardees will be Harry Belafonte, Amy Goodman, who else is on this list? Sonny Rollins on the music side. Talking to Ruby D, Gloria Lynn is also up on honor, Dick Gregory, and then some Dorothy Height, who's president of the National Council of Negro Women, and music by Sweet Honey and the Rock. These are confirmed participants. The mayor will host, and along with the chair of the City Council, Vincent Gray, Kwame Brown, and also Eleanor Holmes Norton will participate. So the event is going to happen. The co-chairs are Roscoe Dellums, who is the former wife of Ron Dellums, and another co-chair would be the president of the AFL-CIO in D.C., and then the chair of the event will be, recipient will be John Conyers, chair of the Judiciary Committee. So they have... they've got a good lineup. They think they can sell the tickets, and it looks at this point, keep your fingers crossed that it might work out. I'm suggesting that each station look at doing taking its anniversary, and we replicate this at other stations over the next 5 years, taking the template that W has created, because they can right now revenue estimates by $500,000 to $600,000, and we think that it'll draw 1,500 people plus sponsorships. And plus ticket sales and auctions and a lot of other things they plan to do to raise money. So we're talking with KPFK to see if they want to be next, or WBAI if they want to be next, in terms of doing annual fundraisers for the network.
Right.
Each year, each station being, different station being the host, trying to raise at least $500,000. Anyway, that is a quick report on, you got all the other details in that report. At this point, I'll stop.
Terry has a question.
I'm wondering
if you could also provide a chart of salaries as a percent of total income as well as expenses.
Yeah, you can do that. But if you're getting a different conclusion when you do it that way.
Only about salaries.
You can do it. But then you go, what about salaries as a proportion of listener support? And after a while, my brain goes dead. And I go, well, I don't know what this is telling me, even though I got the numbers. But I can do that.
Yeah, I think your conclusion as to occupancy cost is unquestionable. But I'm not so quick to accept your conclusion about salaries not being a driver worth looking at.
Which one is that? The revenue or salaries?
Salaries. You just, based on salaries as a percent of total expenses, concluded that salaries are not the driver.
Yeah. Salaries are always the driver at every station. But I was looking for the main one that would have the effect of moving the station towards solvency. If I were to reduce salaries at WBI by 50%, the station wouldn't be solvent.
Right.
It wouldn't be solvent. So I'm looking for the one change that could be made that would give the station a future financially.
Brian here.
Go ahead, Brian.
I agree with Terry. I think you're spot on about occupancy costs. Unfortunately, I don't think that's something you can fix in the short term. And in the very immediate term, you do have a deficit. So
I think I have it in my report. I was concerned about that, too, the turnaround time on all these loans, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the key step is identifying a property. And they do have a couple of properties. But the Chase Manhattan people said, if you identify a building, we can get a loan to you in four months. Of course, they all are optimistic. But what you have to do, even after identifying a property, you have to go have the property inspected, engineering, plumbing, permits, any outstanding liens on the building, yada, yada, yada. That takes time. Realistically, it takes 6 to 8 months to go through. Then the purchase agreement has to be done, of course. So you can get into a bank loan, 6 to 8 months. I was concerned about the tax-exempt bond process. That takes a little longer, about 9 months. The other way to go is a cash down payment. That is to say, if they have $200,000 in the bank already, and they were to put another $200,000 with that, and they come away with a $400,000 payment on the building, well, that could go fairly quickly. The first obstacle, which I didn't mention, is that they have to figure out a way to break the lease that they're currently in, which I think doesn't end until 13. But I understand it's been done. And so we're starting to talk to Silverstein, which is the landlord there. They're huge. Silverstein is, many of you know, New York. They own the World Trade Center. They're huge real estate people in New York. But the positive in it is they maybe would be happy to get rid of WBI. They consider WBI to pose some troublesome problems for people coming in out of the building. They don't like it.
I think we're getting off on a bit of a tangent here. I'd actually like to get to my question if I could.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, what I'd like, Lonnie, is for this to be a plan. I think it's a great report. I fully support any effort you want to make to get the AI out of that lease and into a more affordable state and support having the network put some resources in up front to realize long-term savings. I think you're absolutely right. That's a lead brick around the station's neck. For this to be a plan for us to work with, I want to see times, as in dates, target dates for specific things to be completed, and dollar amounts. I mean, I know they're going to be best guesses, but if you're planning to increase the fulfillment rate, for instance, how much, by when, and how much money is that going to bring in? If you're going to move the building and you think the earliest you can stop making payments on your lease is, I don't know, 9 months out after you've completed the transaction, pulled the permits, done the build out of the studios, and gotten all your stuff moved out of your place on Wall Street there, spell that out. We'll start making operational savings in 9 months at roughly this amount. Right now, it's not a plan. It's a bunch of good ideas that are going in the right direction. But there needs to be some benchmarks so that we can check the station's status against what was proposed as a recovery plan and say, is it on target to make its goals?
Well, this is the original blueprint for a recovery plan, not the finished product. The finished product is due in 3 months. And what you got here is, that's what it says, options. And how those options get implemented would be a function of that station coming together and starting to work together and getting going to the next step. So...
Okay, gotcha. So we're headed in the same direction then. So you're going to build out and get that detail back to us.
Yeah, you're not going to get answers from banks in 2 weeks. Remember this. I went to WBI October, whenever it was.
No, I got you. I'm just telling you that final product that we're supposed to be looking at the end of the three-month period, I want dollar amounts and I want dates.
Yeah, well, everybody's
dates for meeting
everybody
specific targets.
Right, and you have to be a little bit more patient. You're not going to get it in the first 30 days. No plan that's
going
to involve this complication is going to be in place in 30 days.
We're on the same page about that, and I really appreciate all the financial indicators you put together. The one thing I would point out, and I don't know how you address this from a finance angle, but WBAI has a signal that reaches a population area that contains 22 million people. We have a signal here that reaches about 8 million people. There has to be a programming end to the problem there. I mean, I don't know what else it is. I don't know how you can be pulling so few listeners and so little listener support with. I mean, WBI has a flamethrower on top of the Empire State Building there. So.
Well, you know, that is a great, that's a valid point. But, you know, what is going to be different, let's put it that way, is that they're interviewing for GM at WBI. And the problem with WBI is that, say, on the real estate stuff that's there, you know, who's going to follow through? You know, they need that fund development person to help follow through on this plan. They need the current GM has some not sure if he's going to stay or not. He wants to stay. But I think that with a GM who really has all the requisite knowledge around the real estate proposals that are on the table, the possibilities, station has a chance of getting this stuff implemented. And apparently they're going to make a decision by December 1st. The second one is we have a new ED coming on board, November 12th, who knows radio, who has real solid operating knowledge about how to take that megaphone on top of the Empire State Building and make it work for that station. Those are two very positive outcomes happening in the next 30 days. So I think they have a fighting chance. We'll see what the application of, you know, skill, knowledge, and perseverance can get done in the next 30 days. I know Nicole definitely has. She's seen this report. She's read this report. She has definite ideas about what might work.
Gary? And within the next 30 days, you'll have more details as to if there are options to the Empire State Building on the transmitter location.
Yeah, I've been talking to Don Mussel about it. Don, what can you do? Can we get off the Empire State Building? Can we renegotiate that lease, that contract from the 7% escalator? And can we look at another site for that antenna? With perhaps some repeaters, like we did down at K. We were able to stretch that signal using repeaters and get into Malibu, getting over those mountains, which were obstacles, and getting to Santa Barbara. So I've begun discussions with him, And also, if we did it that way, what would it cost? And I would want to fold that into any loan scenario. So you want to do it all at once. It wouldn't do any good to get the leasing settled if you, without really fully exploring the antenna, because there may be some savings there as well. If it's not possible, his initial impression was, look, the Empire State Building is the prime spot for any radio station in New York to be. There is no better spot. And so he was saying, when the Twin Towers went down, that was another alternative, but they're no longer there. So the Empire State Building, people can charge whatever they like. And that antenna has its own issues and its own problems in terms of relocation.
Okay, does anybody have any other questions?
I wanted to express my anxiety about one thing.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm concerned about the drive. If we go through, maybe you folks have more information than I do, and maybe you can add more information that allow me to rest a little bit easier. But WPFW's drive, I believe, concluded the Tuesday. And they came in a little, maybe close to 500,000. Would like to have seen more. Drives are having to stretch, add on days, in order to meet these goals. And that is worrisome, not only for all the obvious reasons, but generally the October drive is the best drive of the year. So we're looking forward to the winter drive. You sort of want to know if that's going to, not meet goals. The WBA drive is not going as well as those folks would have hoped, but they still have three or four things they're going to be trying to do. So it may be a little bit early to start worrying overly much about it. But I think their goal is 850, and they are at this pace with 7 or 8 days to go. It looks like they'd get in at maybe 780,000, 800,000, and miss by a minimum of 60,000. Let's just hope that things work out. KPFA, how are you looking there? I saw the numbers on the whiteboard. It's close to, 400,000 or so? Is that where you are now?
We're at about 440 now. We always dip in the middle. We're definitely dipping. Probably hit our budgeted goal, might go a couple hours over to hit it, but our budgeted goal is at an amount where we have to do layoffs, so the goal that management publicly announced was a little bit higher in hopes of...
What's your goal now?
Well, the budgeted goal is 780. What we're saying on the air is 850, and I think we're probably on track to make 780 just about on time.
780 is the goal? Ooh, let me check here. I'll come back to that. I think the budget might have been a little higher than 780. Well, that's okay. We can talk about that offline. But Brian, what's your best thought? How's it looking?
It's the middle of a drive. We never know till the end. There's a big push at the end. The question is always, how big is the push? The swell at the end has gotten bigger since management started holding the line and not extending drives. Because people start taking our countdown seriously. But it's tough. We have a larger goal in the winter. The past 2 years, the winter drive's been our best drive. And our goal for this winter is in line with what we made last winter. The question is, was last winter anomalous? So, waiting with bated breath. We did get that CD account set up, Lonnie. So thanks for that. We've got $400,000 making 5.5% now.
What's your balance you're going to work with? 100, 200, 500?
They put 400 in that account. We closed the fiscal year with $1.26 million in cash. They put $400,000 into 5-month CDs that were at a promotional rate.
Give you a rate on 3-month CDs, by the way, or two months,
The promotional rate was only 5-month CDs.
They didn't offer anything less than that?
Well, no, it was like you had got 5.5% on a 5-month CD or 3% on anything else.
Okay. 5.5 is not bad.
No, it's pretty good.
That's not bad.
It'll be, $5,000-$6,000 in excess unbudgeted interest income over the course of that 5 months if interest rates are still that high. when the 5 months is up, it'll be double that.
What happens with A? K. Anybody from K? No. The
As of 5 p.m.?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Terry.
As of 5 p.m., we're at 926,290.
Wow!
On a goal of 1,085,000 and a second extension.
You're doing, you're closing Sunday.
Let me look that up.
I think that's the last word I got. Sunday, 3 p.m.
Okay.
I'm looking up what KPFT is doing. Our goal is 350,000. We started on Tuesday. It was supposed to be 2 weeks. It's now been extended to November the 11th. And so far, we've achieved 53,000 and some change. So not bad for 4 days' work.
Your average is about 23,000 a day, right? Before, at least. So are you on a pace to get to your 350?
Well, I don't have that documentation in front of me. I'm just looking at our website, and it's showing that right now we're up to $53,000, and our goal is $350,000. So.
Okay, and so how many days do you have left?
Pardon?
How many days do you have to go to raise to get to that 350?
We started on the 22nd Monday.
Okay.
And it's going a full 3 weeks until November the 11th.
Okay, so 21 days.
Yeah, it's a long one.
Yeah.
They extended it by a full week.
Well, you have to do what you have to do.
Okay, K is ending at 7 p.m. Sunday.
Oh, they went back to 7 p.m. So you need a little over 100,000, 160,000.
That's right. Wednesday. Okay.
What are the chances, Terry?
No, I think I said we're about...
Sunday, let's
yeah, 150,000.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Say Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's like 3 days. Raise on
150,000 a day with a stepped up fire sale on premiums. Yes, possible.
That would be an average like 53,000 for the next 3 days.
Yeah.
Well, you did 50. You did more than that in some of these earlier parts of this drive. So it looks doable.
Yeah, it won't be easy, but it's doable.
Okay.
How long is that?
Well, actually, I don't know. Because, I mean, we're ending on a Sunday, and Sunday is usually a slow day.
And you got Saturday, too, a weekend.
Yeah, Saturday's usually okay.
So you'll be close, though.
Yeah.
You'll be close.
I'm sure we'll break a million.
Oh, yeah. Well,
now,
anyway.
Does that make it a full 3 weeks for KPFK? You guys started on the 9th?
I don't know when we started, but that sounds about right.
Well, that's the drive scenario. Does that include web site donations, too, by the way, or is that separate
yes.
A and K? I know you guys have... considerable income coming on the website level.
Yeah, typically our drive totals include web income.
Yeah,
okay.
We roll it in now, too.
You do. Okay.
Well, I mean, the one difference for us is that we get an additional maybe 12 to 20,000 after we stop, after we go off the air with the fund drive. The people who are shoppers go to the website because they have a menu of all the premiums.
Yeah, we get some after drive stuff also.
So it's kind of a when you announce the final numbers on the fund drive, they're not actually the final numbers. You know, a few days afterwards, how much you've made.
We get more coming through, especially with PayPal. We repaired apparently the PayPal situation we were struggling with. Where
it seems to me, Lonnie, that the concern. I mean, our stations are going to make their goals if they have to. The concern is that the fund drives are all getting longer. And if you do that too much, you scare your listeners away, and then there's less people to ask for money the next time around.
I don't know if we discuss, you know, arbitrage on this committee, but it's got to be addressed somewhere, because the longer the drives are lengthening, 21, 22, 24 days, and the listener numbers don't look all that great, and we are, you know, entering a finance period, a financial period where homeowners and subprime lenders, the retail business is expecting a hit, so there's less money out there as well, and we need a way to deal with what may be easily foreseeable, you know. I don't know where we have that discussion, but we should have it. What we can do with, well, you know, I was looking at the production numbers for Amy and for some other shows I produce, and I don't know if you, maybe other folks can report in, but I'm seeing the per hour production, that is on air production in terms of dollars, isn't appreciably off from historical levels, but that is not, doesn't seem that, that's not true for, you know, a lot of the other programming where that is, we're seeing lower levels there. So I don't know, I guess I shouldn't ask it on the call, but are there issues in terms, what issues are there in terms of having to need to extend to out to 21, 24 days? Well, why is that happening?
We're asking for more money. It takes more time to get it.
Oh, that's a very good answer.
We've taken some publicity hits here, too. I mean, there was a pretty bad article about KPFK in The Weekly the week y'all went on the air and started your fund drive. Here we basically had a 7-part hit piece on the station, its management, and several board members distributed through the elections process to every single person who'd given money to the station over the course of the last year.
Wow.
That went out the first week of our fund drive.
Same thing happened
again. It would certainly make me reluctant to support the institution.
So it happened, a similar thing happened at Kay, as you probably know. So the answer is that you think it might have impacted, it did impact the drive.
Our numbers started dipping the day the ballots started hitting mailboxes, and they haven't gone back up to the daily averages we had at the start of the drive.
Well, I had not heard it expressed that way, but that is not good news. That direct one-to-one causation, is that what you saw? Is that what you're saying?
It's a correlation.
It's speculative.
Speculative.
It's possible.
What about Kay? I heard that was an issue, too. Kay, you think?
Bad press? Sure. But actually... I think the bad press keeps people from donating that wouldn't donate anyway more than it drives away the current audience. Because the current audience knows what they hear and bases their support on that rather than what they read.
It's tough because that piece in The Weekly, I mean, who knows how many of your listeners actually saw it, but the piece in The Weekly, one of the things it did, it accused the station of a manager of the station of misusing money.
And I expect that the bad press does drive away the new listener audience,
which
each fund drive does depend in part on.
And the thing we had mailed out to... Every single one of our donors got a ballot last week, or at the beginning of this week, depending on where they live, saying things like, they just want your money, they don't care about your input. That is a direct quote. They just want your money, they don't care about your input on how to run the station.
Wow.
But on the other hand, they're getting ballots, which could spur donations.
Speaking from Houston, the ballots have just now finally started to hit Houston. I got mine yesterday. I've talked to a few other people today who have received ballots today. So finally, the long-awaited ballots have arrived. I would just like to interject here, folks, as much as this is a very enlightening discussion. How much longer does do the rest of you want to stay on this call?
I'm done.
I know I am, but I don't have anything further to add other than the numbers don't lie. They are what they are, and hopefully everybody will have a good drive and we'll get some money and we'll be able to continue on and do what we need to do. But I do recommend that we keep an eye on the WBII recovery. I like the suggestion of you know, having the numbers and having actual dates and time frames in which to accomplish those goals. But having said that, I don't have anything further to add, and I would move that we go ahead and adjourn if everybody agrees or if there are no objections.
I'm sorry. I just want to let you guys know I had joined the call. It's Baruti.
Can you give me a time?
It was about 8:55.
Okay, so we had quorum as of 5:55 Pacific. 5:67 Yeah.
Okay.
So let's make a motion to make the previously scheduled adjourned meeting a regular meeting.
Okay.
So that it can have new items added to the agenda if we need it. So I'll also move.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I hear any objections? Hearing none, we will continue with the meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Sandra, you were great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. by the way, I may, if the executive director, new executive director, wants to join our meeting at that point, is it okay with the committee if I invite her?
That would be good.
Absolutely. I would love to have her input. And okay. Next, so now we're going back to the agenda here, and I do have it. I just need to find out what I did with it. let's see. Lonnie has completed his report. Let's see. Bear with me just one second here. I just got my home computer up and running again today.
I can read it.
Please.
Okay, roll call and approval of agenda, approval of minutes, which we skipped, next regular meeting, which we have just done, CFO report, including WBAI recovery plan, October 1 status. I'm not sure what that means. PMB motions. National office mail drops, affiliates budget. Those were all under CFO report.
Yeah, I think we did that, didn't we?
I think I skipped a part, and that was after the roll call. We never had an official approval of the agenda because we didn't have quorum.
Right.
So I would request that someone move to either approve or amend so that we can adopt an agenda for the rest of the meeting.
I move approval of the agenda. Brian.
Do I hear any objections? Anything that anybody wants to add?
Okay. I would have a motion for adjournment on the floor. We should dispense with
that. I will withdraw that motion. Now, Baruti has saved the day. Thank you, Baruti.
Sorry, I had to get here early.
That's okay. I understand. This is a volunteer position for all of us, and we have lives and commitments outside of KPFT. Anyway, continuing on, Lonnie, in your report, there was not, well, there's several things up on the agenda in your report, the recovery plan, PMB motions, national office mail drops, and the affiliate budget. I would like to see if maybe you could address, first off, the national mail drop. Have you sent out a official cost and, you know, what it cost us and what our rewards were for those national office mail drops?
Yeah, they're part of my report, the WBI recovery plan. They're It's the W. Barry Recovery Plan and other financial issues and questions. I included it in there. I sent out an email saying I would include it, and I did.
Okay. I don't have that right in front of me, but I will look for it. Next item on the agenda would be the Financial Policies and Procedures Manual then.
Oh, boy. It's done. And my hope, and the orator is pressing on this issue, is that we've finished our review here. I can sort of send out the very latest one, but there's no changes to it since the Finance and Audit Committee looked at it in several months ago. The plan would be to place it before the January board, and the auditor would be at the January meeting to go over the Policies and Procedures Manual and urge its adoption. He personally feels that it's important to do that.
Okay. Are you going to invite Nicole onto this call?
Well, if I was thinking about the call, the meeting we just set up, maybe that meeting, November meeting.